This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Marjorie Dannenfelser. She's the head of the Susan B. Anthony List, an organization looking to get pro-life candidates elected across the country. One of the things that the group has done in the wake of the health care bill's passage earlier this year is put pro-life Democrats on notice, namely those who voted for the bill, because the SBA list says that it's very hard to be pro-life and support that legislation. And Marjorie, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Greg. You stated that all just right.
Well, let's talk about the campaign. Which in particular Democrats are you targeting?
Well, we targeted a whole bunch. We won right out of the box with targeting Bart Stupak, who led the charge away from the pro-life position on the health care bill. He's decided not to run after a lot of pressure. Then Alan Mollahan, my former boss, we helped defeat in a primary, but now what's really hot are two of the other targets are Kathy Dahlkemper in Pennsylvania and Congressman Driehaus in Ohio. These two are targets because of two very important reasons. They set themselves up as pro-life Democrat leaders in charge of leading the fight. And the other half of the equation is that when it really got tough, when Congressman Waxman and the Democratic leadership were putting tons of pressure on them and Nancy Pelosi et al., they completely caved on their own position, which was there had to be language in the bill to protect taxpayers from funding of abortion, or it wouldn't be acceptable. They changed their mind within a 24-hour period and allowed the biggest increase in taxpayer funding of abortion since Roe versus Wade. So this is a huge problem, and you don't on one hand say this is the biggest vote you'll ever take, and on the other hand continue to support them. So we're gonna show them what the pro-life movement is made of. Their own constituents deserve better.
We're talking with Marjorie Dannenfelser. And Marjorie, of course, the argument that these Democrats would make is that perhaps there was the larger good of the overall bill they thought would help the health care system. Clearly, the majority of Americans don't agree with that, at least right now. The other argument they might make is, well, the president signed that executive order saying that there would be no taxpayer funding of abortions. I know that quote-unquote compromise didn't satisfy you at all. So explain why that argument, in your opinion, doesn't hold water.
Well, what you just expressed are directly related. That group of Democrats had two goods that they were very dedicated to, and the good that they were dedicated to in terms of protecting human life lost out over the other good that they felt that they were promoting, which was the health care bill. The reason that the executive order is simply insufficient, in the words of Bart Stupak, who actually led this charge in the beginning, is that nothing short of statutory language in the bill will guarantee that taxpayers are protected from funding. And we know this by court precedent. We know this because we know there'll be another president at some point. We know this because right out of the box, Pennsylvania and New Mexico were trying to get abortions funded in their high-risk pools. So the pro-life movement is being forced into a position of running all over the country, putting our fingers in all the dikes that might leak in terms of taxpayer funding of abortion, where we never should have been in the first place. Most importantly, though, in the Senate, the language that they put in the bill was this unacceptable funding mechanism that requires all of us to be involved in supporting taxpayer funding of abortion through health care on the state level. The funding mechanism itself was the basis of Stupak's opposition. And he completely abandoned that position and led all these other Democrats over the cliff in the same way, and leaving us, but more importantly, unborn children vulnerable.
Marjorie, as you go around the country getting involved in these various races, obviously, as we mentioned before, the health care bill not popular, and that's an albatross around the necks of a lot of these Democratic candidates, particularly in swing districts. Is it possible to gauge within those districts how much the abortion aspect of the health care debate is influencing their dissatisfaction with these members of Congress, or is it just the overall vote for the health care bill that's rubbing a lot of people the wrong way?
Well, there's no question that the overall issue of health care is a problem, but there are two things that have continued to be true. One is that it was the singular area of bipartisan consensus, and that bipartisan consensus fell apart when those Democrats went the wrong way and depended on an executive order. On the ground now is the best explanation that you can see about how important this issue is. And the two districts where we are putting hundreds of thousands of dollars of advertising and grassroots activity. Treehouse and Doll Kemper's districts, they are going wild. They are getting the far left wing of the Christian and Catholic churches to stand up for them and say that they did the right thing by passing health care and that we are lying. In fact, they've gone so far as to sue us in the state of Ohio and say that we can't put we can't state our opinion about Congressman Driehaus's vote on billboards throughout the district. So we're being sued with a criminal statute being taken before the Election Commission in Ohio, and you know, First Amendment aside, you know, free debate aside, what he's really worried about is that now his district is swinging in the opposite direction and he's going to lose this election, and he's getting desperate, and the only thing that he can do is take our message down. But it is backfiring in a huge way in both of those districts, and that says everything to me. They know that if they can get out a different message on the abortion issue, that they still got a chance at winning, but they're not going to do it.
Marjorie, in some of these districts we've just been talking about, are there quality pro-life candidates on the other side of the ballot?
Well, that's the key question. Absolutely, yes. And in the case of Driehaus District, there is a former Congressman, Steve Shabbat, who is a rock star, brilliant guy. He was on the Judiciary Committee. He's already been in Congress before, but Driehaus picked that up in the tsunami that hit the Republican Party last election. So Steve Shabbat is a star, and he will come in at a level of leadership that we really need on the life issue. And then Mike Kelly is a great guy running against Congresswoman Doll Kemper. He, in his words, when we interviewed him for endorsement, in his words, he said, you know, the truth is I don't want to have to do this, but I know that I have to. I know that as if I'm being drafted into the Army, it has to be done. And that we're at a place in history where we have to serve even if we don't feel like it, even when we have to put everything on the line. And it is a tough political environment. So both of those guys being willing to step up says a lot about their character, and they will win if we can keep the fans the win in the sails of the where the ship is already headed, but relaxing now would be a mistake. So we're keeping it up.
And Steve Shabbat, who you mentioned, is a former member of Congress, is actually the author of the partial birth abortion ban. So he's not just pro-life, but also has been a legislative leader on this issue. So we'll see how that plays into all of this. Marjorie, thank you so much for being with us.
Greg, I always enjoy it. Thank you.
Marjorie Dannenfelser is head of the Susan B. Anthony List, a group of pro-life activists seeking to help out pro-life candidates and also calling to account supposedly pro-life lawmakers who they believe have voted the wrong way on critical life issues. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.